Okay, any more comments on that key?
What was it called again?
The key to the book of Revelations would be just the name of it, yeah. Which is that it represents the path of the disciple. And I think Rulina said that statement, the path of the disciple, she said.
In esoteric psychology, they have the rules for disciples.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's an interesting one, and I liked information that you were giving us on 666. I had a funny experience with that. But let me just first say that I respect those who are teaching Relief Society in the Mormon Church or, you know, any other Sunday school or anywhere, because that's what they're supposed to be doing right now. And so everything's kind of gray, and there's nothing that's black and white or right for us all, but we're able to see that. So, but for me, in the Mormon Church, tithing was a huge thing. You know, it's your path to get into the temple, one of the main passes. And so, but my tithing was always kept track of meticulously, and so I had multiple sources of income. Even though they weren't big, they were multiple sources. So one year in 2014, I added all these up, and it was not a good year. But the number was 666.
Oh, really?
That was a laugh, and I had to laugh because the Lord has a sense of humor. But so that was the last time I paid tithing in that form to the Mormon Church, was because, I mean, I have records from years and years, and I just threw them all away. But I kept track of not just this current year, but, you know, all the years, and it was in a spreadsheet, you know, and I was trying to get, you know, to a point of giving more of a percentage away than 10% and all of this stuff. But then in the end, it was, it came down to 666, and so that's what I paid. Actually, the last time I paid the church was, you know, 666. $666.66.
Wow.
And that was the last. So there was what? That's a few sixes there.
Yeah, but that's a lot of sixes.
Yeah, a lot of sixes.
6,000. But that was what the number actually came out to be when you included everything that I had. And but that's not to say that things aren't changing. That's not to say that that we can't change. That's not to say that Elder Nelson can't go from lying for the Lord to maybe being a prophet with a small p, or I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're all able to change, we're all able to grow, we're all able to do and things. And so his lying for the Lord in the past, maybe the Lord forgave him for that, I don't know, you know. So there's just a lot that changes. And so I appreciate your information on judgment, no judgment, you know, because because I used to look at no judgment as, you know, not judging others, but your explanation of it was enlightening for me yesterday, so thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of unearned authority, it's just not the church, it's everywhere, everywhere you go. The medical establishment is very powerful with unearned authority. People go to their doctor and they may say, well, it looks like you got 3 months to live. Sorry, fella. You know, and they'll take it to heart. And oftentimes when they're told that, they'll die right at 3 months just because of their belief system. Other people just throw out that and reject it and live a long life, you know. And that happens. But they have to put that thought out of their mind. They have to reject that unearned authority. That doctor doesn't know he just got 3 months to live for sure. Then they will go through orthodox prescription of medicine, orthodox treatment. Cancer, for instance, they will give you the orthodox radiation treatments and so on that will often not only kill you, but make your death very painful and distressful. Sometimes you're a lot better off to live a few months, shorter time period, and live a better quality of life. My sister and Curtis's mother went through hell with her cancer treatments, and I think she'd have been better off to just not take any treatment at all.
Yeah, it was a year of pain and suffering.
Yeah, she said, well, my mother took some cancer treatments, and actually they were successful for her, but I know when my sister got it, she says, boy, I didn't realize what my mom must have went through. She says, it was a lot harder than I even imagined. It's what she told me.
She said, well, I just saw the doctor and he just signed my death warrant.
She said that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's too bad.
There's no turning her around, no convincing her anything different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. And there's a lot of people with good cancer treatments. I've saved a lot of lives that have been thrown in jail. They suffer persecution from the government. Especially they find treatments that are cheap. If there's a treatment that's expensive and Big Pharma can make a bunch of money off of it, then that's no problem. You take all that type of treatment you want, as long as it costs a makes the establishment a bunch of money. The same thing with COVID, like ivermectin is really cheap. A lot of physicians that are honest will say that the virus could have been completely eliminated if we would have just used that alone as a major medicine. But because it's cheap, nobody wants to, that's in the establishment that's making a ton of money off of COVID wants to promote it. They want to promote stuff that costs a bunch of money. Okay.
What is it that's cheap?
Ivermectin.
What?
It's a really cheap drug that you can get. It's for it's a horse dewormer.
Oh yeah, I heard about
Yeah,
that.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
And a handful of people have taken the horse medicine, which is 1,000 times as much as a human's supposed to take, and it's made them sick. So the media projects this, these stupid people out there are taking this horse medicine, they're getting sick. Well, hardly anyone's taken the horse medicine amount. I mean, maybe about 2-3 people out of millions. But that's what they use as an example. Artie and I have taken it several times. You don't feel as much effect as you do from an aspirin. I mean, it's just, you just don't feel anything.
And it'll knock out the virus?
Yeah, and prevent you from having it too.
I want some.
Yeah. Well, Artie will show you how to get some.
You need to have a horse.
I go to a
horse.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to veterinarian supplies and getting it and trying to chop off the right amount for themselves. But you have to make sure you don't get the horse.
Take a teaspoon per 150 pounds.
Have you taken it, Sue?
For 10 months.
10 months. Oh, yeah. You can't afford to get it, can you? Yeah. Yeah. And this is all part of the control of the beast. The beast right now is really tightly controlling the media. You have anyone in the media that tries to write an honest article or present an honest news story on controversial items that they don't want out, they'll get fired immediately. Or they'll get reassigned, or they'll get warned. You know, we won't publish this, and any more of this, and you're gone. So they control these people tremendously in the media. And the funny thing about the tricky old beast is he moves from one place to another. The mistake a lot of conservatives make that try to pinpoint the conspiracies out there. They'll say, well, the conspiracies among the Jews or the international bankers. I'm sure Ossoff is a big conspirator. But the international bankers or the intelligentsia of some type and the Illuminati, and they try to pinpoint all these, or it was a communist conspiracy. But what they don't realize is the dark brotherhood moves around. During Hitler's time, they were focused on the Nazis. After the Nazis were defeated, a lot of people were worried that that's where the focus of evil still was, and so they were doing everything they can to eliminate every Nazi that continued to exist. But that wasn't where the beast was anymore. Then it moved over to communism. and build up the Soviet Empire. And then, as when it become obvious that that was where the focus of evil was, it fell and moved somewhere else. Where did it move to next?
Control the money.
Well, money has always been part of the control, whether it be
extreme
communism,
Islam.
Nazism, or whatever. Yeah.
Extreme Islam.
Right, extreme Islam. That became the next one. And then Bush started this war against radical Islam, and we kind of got things somewhat under control. We haven't been attacked again, and so the beast snuck away from them and thought, well, I'll maybe get back to them a little later. Where's the focus of evil at now?
Afghanistan.
Wall Street.
China.
The media. Right. The media. It's focusing on the media. The media is breaking all the rules. I took minored in journalism when I was in college, worked on the college newspaper, and the prime directive was you do not insert opinion in hard news. If I were to do that in the papers that I wrote in college, I would have got an F. And now all these media people deserve Fs because they inject their opinion in hard news. They will say, well, like this ivermectin. They'll say this ivermectin, they'll act like everybody's taking this horse medicine, and that's a complete lie. Everybody isn't. Maybe a couple did a long time ago. They'll say that it's unproven and doesn't work, and they inject their opinion, and everybody that's used it says that it does work, and the nations that are using it have a lot lower infection rate than we do. A lot of the nations in Africa using it. The only nation in Africa that has a problem is South Africa, which is very Western in their thinking. The rest of Africa uses natural methods and uses ivermectin, and they don't have much problem. And they also use hydrochloroquine. There are a lot in, like, Nigeria. We have several people in the group from Nigeria, and they don't have any problem there at all to speak of. They tell us that they, they use ivermectin and hydrochloroquine, which are completely discouraged by the media here.